Some of you will know all this stuff, but I also want to remind us why some of us, I don't know, maybe all of us, do this work. And it's because, so first of all, I just like to show you the journey of ISIM. So we moved around, like Sue said, this is the seventh, and we started from Australia in 2011 and moved around France, US, Europe, China, back to Europe, and Europe again for logistical reasons and so on. But yeah, we're glad to be back here. And the reason why we do the work is somewhat related to this curve. And you know that the planet is warming, probably if you heard it somewhere. But this is not a big concern, because this is only 1 degree warming. In the past 800,000 years, the warming of 1 degree is pretty small compared to the oscillations of the climate. So why are we worrying about this? So this is what our friends, who I call them alternative scientists, are telling us about. And the reason why we're worrying is, just from this picture, is because A, the changes we're seeing here are much faster than observed here. So we are two orders of magnitude in speed in terms of warming. So number one. Number two is that even if the globe warmed up to, let's say, plus or minus 12 degrees, we actually don't know. This is all reconstructions, and we actually don't know what the world was like when there was plus 2 degrees. We don't have any record. We have reconstructions of other proxies, but we really don't know how it was living at the time with 2 degrees or 3 degrees. And so we don't really, having seen how 1.5 degrees, where we are currently or pretty close, is, I don't think we want to push it too much. But the other thing that is really important to remember that is often overlooked is not so much the swings in temperature. These are very important, of course, but it's the fact that we are way out of range in terms of carbon emissions, and that's where we need to do the work. It's tough work, but one way or another, we need to push. And this is basically the main sign and the main story we need to tell, because we are way out of whack with the 800,000 years of record. So if you are not worried about all these things, and the slides are not advancing, we are stuck here. Can we go to the next slide, please? Okay, so if you're not worried about all the temperatures that is warming, the greenhouse gases that are increasing, I mean, you don't see them every day. You may start to worry about this trend, which is in the last 50 years, natural disasters have increased quite a lot, as you can see, in terms of climatological, hydrological, meteorological together. And there is a pretty close correlation with the increasing temperature. So 50 years is not long enough to do a strong correlation, but how can this happen by chance? So that's something, another piece of story that we need to tell. But maybe you're not worried about natural disasters because they're not happening close to you. But maybe somehow this will hit your pockets, because this is also creating a lot of damages economically. So you see here another trend that is increasing with two peaks, and the two peaks are related to hurricanes, as we know, but nonetheless, if you leave them aside, the trend is still rising. So, and these expenses, these are insured losses, are only insured losses. So there's other expenses that and costs that we don't know, because they're not captured by insured expenses and insured coverage. So there's more to come, and it's projected to be much more costly, in the order of trillions or more. So Hopefully that I scared you enough, and you were already scared. I mean, I'm probably preaching to the converted. But I would also like to invite you to take this message out to the community, as some of us are doing through posts on LinkedIn, Twitter, presentations at schools, and all these things. And of course, this is relevant because it's we know through models. So all we've seen is in the past, so we know pretty well. In the future, we don't know, but it's pretty clear that whatever we do, we're going to warm the planet even more. So there's no escape from here, according to all the scenarios. The more benevolent scenario will take us to still close to 2 degrees, 1.5, 2 degrees, so still pretty high for our today's standards. And it's very, I would say this is very unlikely. On the positive note, now we start to see some signs that in terms of renewables, which is our area, things are improving. So if you compare 10 years ago, we had 21.3% of share of renewable electricity worldwide. Now we are nearly, that's 30%. So 10 years later, it's quite a good advance, but obviously there's still some way to go. As you know, there is a strong also pushback from fossil fuel industry on this uptake of renewables. But all the curves are, well, if you see the wind, it's growing year after year. Solar, even more. Solar now has and surpassed the wind installed capacity. Of course, this will have to be measured by the electricity produced, because the efficiency and the conversion of solar is lower than wind, as you know, but nonetheless, these are positive signs of increasing in renewables. And I'd like to just kind of conclude the presentation by giving some suggestions, some of which you know very well. Some others are not so well known. And it goes from the small scale, from what you can do on day-to-day life, to what you can imagine in an ideal world, or maybe not so ideal, so we can work towards big challenges. And I'll tell you what I'm talking about. So the small action here. Small action is just switching the lights on and off. So we've heard this for maybe 20, 30 years, that we should do that because it's good for the planet and so on. However, if you look around, there are still so many lights on when you leave a room and so on. So maybe we're not being clear enough. So I think what I've been also trying to tell people is that it's not so much about the switch itself, it's what's behind the wall. So behind the wall, you have a huge complex system that needs to be operated in order for you to have the light on. So the switch itself, like I said, it's minimal, but if you imagine what's happening behind, all the effort, all the people that need to be behind there to make sure that the light is on, always on for you, and the power, power station is on. So you realize that maybe next time you are going to be more careful. And again, it's not so much for you, I'm sure, but for other people that you may know. And so you probably already communicating this, but maybe some this is other ways to tell the story. And of course, the same is for water. When you open the tap, it's a similar story, very complex system behind the tap, the wall, and the food. And so the food, as you know, there is about a third of food that is wasted every year, and we are here talking about energy. So why food? Because energy is needed everywhere, for water, for food, and for transport and everything. So it's very important to be careful also with the food, and that's actually an invitation for you during the conference, because we always waste a lot of food at conferences. So I'd like you to, because I have limited space here and I don't like to see waste, And so I do my best, but I'd like to ask you also to do your part. Because we can't change the numbers now, unfortunately, so there's going to be more food that we can manage. But if we can reduce the waste, that'd be great. So Big Actions, you may know this, is from Geico. It started from there's a tech, which was a project for Europe. Now, Geico, since a few years ago, they come up with this plan. I showed it actually on 2019, so it's not so new. The idea is to connect. This is a kind of ideal. I don't know, it's probably never going to happen as such, but at least if there are parts of it being realized, it's a big achievement. And so, as you can see, it's connecting everywhere, taking advantage of where we have abundance of solar and wind, balancing all these things and so on. So that's one big plan. Another big plan that we are cooking in Australia is this one. We are imagining that the desert area, this is just an image, but there's a lot more behind, but the end result would be that the desert area will reduce eventually, maybe in 100 years or more. So it's a very long process, but if you never start, you never get there. So that's why we are now starting to talk about this plan, which involves, like I said, that's just the image of where we want to go, but there's a complex structure that we are putting in place with energy production, with food production, water production, and afforestation and reforestation. So all these elements, and of course storage, agri-PV, which is becoming very popular now, so combination of photovoltaic. We'll hear some of this also here at the conference, photovoltaic with crop production, or also cattle. But the ultimate goal is actually to create communities. You may know that Australia is a very populous country, is as large as the US, a lot of desert, of course, but it has less than a tenth of the population of the US. I'll let you guess what it is. So you know what the US population is, and so you can do your math. But many people don't know what the population of Australia is. It's very, very small, comparatively. There is a good reason, because it's dry, but things can change. So I'd like to conclude by proposing this. I think it was also in 2019. I keep this as a mantra for myself, which is a saying from a Chinese proverb, I think I saw. And essentially, it's just another way that we need to live in balance with our planet. But it's very poetic, because it just refers to the blue sky. So we should respect the laws of the blue sky, which has also some kind of inference to physics, which I like. But it's also very poetic. So with that, I'd like to suggest that we should take care of our planet as much as possible. Also because this is the only one we have, despite what you hear on television or YouTube. You might have heard Elon Musk saying that we may be able to live on Mars in the not too distant future, but that's going to be very distant future. So I would discard that option for now and just try to take care of our planet and treat it as best as we can.